Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. Let me read from verse 18 to 30. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So we are going through a series on the titles of Christ. And today we come to another title of Christ called the Son of God. The Son of God. We are going through the titles of Christ alphabetically. Now we come to the Son of God. It is a term used by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says to the man born blind before he healed him, he asked him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He asked him, the man born blind. Okay? That's one reference. And his disciples also call him the Son. Peter's confession of him in, just now was John chapter 3, verse 18. Then we see John chapter 6, verse 69. Peter's confession of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Then we see John the Baptist. In John chapter 3 verse 36, he who believes in the Son has those who do not believe in the Son shall not have eternal life, but the wrath of God abides in him. And that is taken from John the Baptist, John chapter 3 verse 36. And he was charged for blasphemy by his enemies, and he says, He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And amazing, during our outreach today, someone asked, and he's probably been taught by his teachers, to ask, where in the Bible does the Lord Jesus say that he's the Son of God? You know, it's a standard question of certain people when you're witnessing to them. And amazing is in this verse, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 to 66, whereas the chief priest asked him, Tell us if you are the Son, and what does the Lord Jesus say? As you say. So it's tantamount to saying yes. Okay. And he says, And you will see the Son of Man doing this. So there is one answer to such inquiry and doubt. The devils recognized him, and the evil spirits. The demons
call him the Son of God. Well, they were afraid. Tell us, sorry.
So we see a number of evidences to show that the people recognize the Lord Jesus and call him as Son of God. Okay, it's not a term that just occasionally occurs once or twice, but it is still enough to be occurred once or twice, but it is in the whole testimony of the Gospels. It's closely related to the only begotten Son, which we have considered already, and then the Son of Man to be considered in the future. We come to realize the eternal Son of God has taken upon himself perfect human nature to save his people from their sin. So the title for today is the Son of God. And the lesson for us is the eternal Son of God has taken upon himself perfect human nature to save his people from their sin. Okay. We have two sections. Firstly, the Son of God has taken on perfect human nature. The only true God has revealed himself as consisting of three persons. Got the Father, got the Son, and got the Holy Spirit. If your God is not these three persons of the Godhead, it is not the God of the Bible. So often people speak, yes, we believe there's only one God when we go out witnessing. Tuhan Esa, they say. But that is that singular term. But they don't believe in this fact that God manifests himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? We already see it in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 1, where God says, let us make man in our image. Okay? Then in chapter 11, verse 7 to 8, okay, at the Tower of Babel, come, let us go down and confuse their language, which is God's judgment. So us is already indicative of the plurality we see in this Godhead. Okay? It is one God, many people may agree, but yet not one person. It is one God, yet not one person. There are three persons in the Godhead. This is made clear in the New Testament. We read in the passage in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, baptizing them in the name, not names, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, the grace of the, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Okay. So it's already revealed in the New Testament very clearly that there are three persons, yet only one God. Each person completely God. Not 30%, 30%, 30%, but all equally God. Okay? Same in substance, equal in power and glory, the Catechism says. So the true God has revealed himself as consisting of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you do not believe this, you have not entered into the kingdom of God yet. If this is not what you believe in only Jehovah, yeah? But you don't believe in God the Father. Everyone may believe that. God the Son, you have doubts. God the Holy Spirit, you really have doubt. See, if the Lord Jesus is just the highest of creatures, the greatest angel, the highest archangel, or the Holy Spirit is only a principle instead of a living being, you have not entered the kingdom of God. You do not understand. See, that the Godhead consists of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and yet we are one God. And that's because we can't understand. How can you understand with finite minds the Godhead? If you could understand all of God, you have it is human invention. You have invented this God. Because you can comprehend all the things of God, then you have made yourself to be a God after your own image. So be careful of, instead of being humble and waiting to learn and find out who is this God who is high above, and we're just creatures on this earth, whereby we are born today, we pass away tomorrow, and things change so much for us, but the unchanging God who has revealed himself to us, we better take stock and learn. You see? Just because you can't understand doesn't mean it's real. See? Just because you can't comprehend the Godhead in the way that you comprehend the things in the world, you must reduce everything you understand to your own understanding and experience in this world, then you have not come to understand who God is. So if you can't understand who God is, you're still outside his kingdom. The kingdom of God is his rule. See? He must rule over you if you are to be in God's kingdom. And the way he rules is in your mind, your heart and will. And the way he rules is that you accept, you submit to the king who rules. If you are in his kingdom, you are subject to a king, you must obey his rules. So if ever you become a citizen of America, as many so desire, one day you will have to do this. You have to obey the rules of the land and the president. You have to make a solemn oath. So you're under the rule of the Lord. You will not enter into his kingdom if you do not believe this fundamental doctrine. Second, we want to learn, continuing, the eternal Son of God has taken on human nature permanently. The Lord Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God in heaven, coexisting with God the Father and the Holy Spirit from eternity when there was nothing created, just them. Okay, because they are eternal. So they needed God created time. And then he created the angels, he created all the other things. The Son of God had been foreshadowed in the Old Testament. And an occasion has come about when Abraham was met by God. And that was before the incident of Sodom and Gomorrah. God was angry with Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin has reached God, and God was going to destroy them. God sent the two angels with another person. And the two angels went to the city, but one remained. And who was that? We see that was the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of God, we believe. We come to realize that he's the angel of God. Why? See? Abraham bowed down to him. The two angels and the Lord Jesus met Abraham at the trees of Mamre prior to his destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we come to another scene where in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, Joshua bows down before the commander of the army of the Lord before attacking Jericho. Samson's parents, Manoah's name is mentioned, wife is not mentioned, they offered a burnt offering before this angel of God. But when the angel, when the offering was being burned, suddenly that angel, that he didn't recognize it was the angel of God, that person before him suddenly disappeared into that flame when the sacrifice was being burnt. And he said, "We have seen God, we could have died." And yet they weren't destroyed, having seen the angel of God. So these are incidences of what we call the Lord Jesus Christ appearing as man, but not incarnation, not taking upon himself human flesh when he was born by the Virgin Mary. Okay, you see the difference? He could disappear like that. Whereas the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he walked finitely in this world. He ate, he drank, he died, and he was risen from the dead. He rose. See, but those appearances in the Old Testament are prefigurements. They are incidences where the Lord Jesus Christ appeared as a human. Okay. Some scholars argue that this is merely the use of language with no implication of plurality, but allowance must be made to the alternative understanding that is plurality is implied. Got the Father, got the Son, got the Holy Spirit. But he is declared in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, that he is the eternal, he is the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So his deity is already pronounced. He's the creator. He's the giver of life. He's the light, giver of light. And it was announced to Mary, the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. So the eternal Son of God took upon himself human flesh permanently. It's clear that the term is used in a special technical sense applicable only to Jesus Christ. The Son of God is not used in a general sense that we are creatures of God. Okay? Now in the Genesis chapter 6, the term the sons of God are being used, but they refer not to angels, but they refer to people who used to walk faithfully to God. Okay? So in this sense, it is not a general usage of the term, but a special usage called the Son of God, referring only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? You see, the eternal Son of God, who had no flesh, came at a certain point of time in this world, was born in the virgin womb of Mary, and it came to birth after how many months? Okay, a natural birth of. You think, the eternal Son of God took upon himself human flesh. Okay, he died. He lived a perfectly righteous life. He was condemned. He died. He rose again from the dead and appeared to many and ascended to heaven. But what is his current state now? When he was risen from the dead, he has this spiritual body suited for the new heavens and the new earth. You could touch him. You see? A spirit doesn't have bones, doesn't have flesh, but they could hold him. See? Doubting Thomas had to hold him. The Lord Jesus said, you know. So, did the Lord Jesus separate and become the eternal Son of God and is no more flesh? No. The Lord Jesus Christ is permanently both God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever, though risen from the dead and now ascended to heaven. Okay? Whereby we have the God-man in heaven. Hey, yo, you think of this. God taking upon himself human flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Permanently. And for our sakes, we should well up with thanksgiving and gratitude and relief and joy. For we have one, the God-man who intercedes for us this very moment. If you are a believer, he's interceding for us. And he says, look at my wounds. I died for him. My blood has washed him clean. Has the blood of Christ washed you clean yet? Or you still remain as one who is not washed? Whereby the angel of death would pass in the book of Exodus, where the door is open and it would go in when there's no blood on the lintel. And you go in, and the firstborn would die. Showing forth that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Showing that only Jesus Christ alone must die for our sin. Look, he is in heaven seated, and he is the God-man. Always remember that, so that forever You will see when you will go to heaven, you will see the Lamb of God appearing like a Lamb of God. Always remember that for all eternity, you will never forget. It will always be in your focus that the Savior has died for you. The Savior is to be worshipped. The Savior is one we have tried to live the remainder of our lives in this world. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who has come from heaven and has taken human nature permanently. Oh, that word is such a blessed word. He appeared in human form in the Old Testament, but he took upon himself human flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. You can find in John chapter 1, verse 14. That is our Savior. So the first main point is the Son of God has taken on perfect human nature. Second, Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. He came to die as a ransom for his people. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, and other Gospels, we read, he came not to serve, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is related to the Son of Man who came to give his life, the Son of Man. From the Old Testament animal sacrifices, it showed the need of a life laid down as a substitute. So the Lord Jesus Christ is our substitute. We have read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The anger of God had to be diverted to someone. The anger of God was upon us. The judgment was looming on our heads, but the Lord Jesus Christ fully absorbed, in totality absorbed, the wrath of God, which was looming upon this sinful world. All the sins, each sin condemned the judgment of God. Can you imagine how many people has lived in this world? How much sin has been committed? How much terribly gross sin? It's not just the sin, it's the gross sins that, you know, is waiting to fill up. And when the judgment day comes, when the Lord returns, everyone condemned, their sins would have reached the point where the Lord Jesus would come and he would condemn all to eternal hell. But can you imagine when the Lord Jesus died for his people, the elect, how much of sins that he had to bear on the cross? The wrath of God really weighed heavily upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When you begin to absorb this, when you are thinking of this in your walk, in your quiet time, you know, may tears come from your eyes. You don't have to show people, but when it come down from your eyes to see the cost upon the Savior to bear the punishment and the wrath of God. The wrath of God and judgment are inseparable from God. Our sins must be paid for. The wrath of God needs to be turned away. It fell on the Savior, you see. As I mentioned this morning, have you experienced the anger that people have for you? Something you did wrong? Something you said that hurt people? You insulted people? I've been in environments like that where people were so insulted that the man wanted to bash that person who insulted him. You don't know the anger of people. But at times it can be uncontrolled anger. But when people are angry for the wrong you've done, have you ever faced this? Then you have an inkling, a little inkling, that you have done wrong. That people can be angry justly for you. Of course, people lose control or whatever, but this little thing manifests in such a big way when the Lord, when God the Father judged the Savior on the cross. It fell on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We fear that you hear this so often that you become numb. It doesn't have any effect upon you When you hear that the Lord Jesus Christ bore the sins of his people, that he suffered there as if it's just a statement of fact, and we have lost that indebtedness to someone bearing it on our behalf. May this not be so. In your quiet time, you need to be reminded again and again, and to take it in. And that's why the gospel of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his work, is often portrayed in different angles, so that you may not be bored by hearing so often, because our minds are also easily dull and callous. And may God just wake us up to realize what a Savior has done for us. Be careful. Be very careful. Then we see, finally, that he is the only way for us to know God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He who has seen me has seen the Father. That means if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know God the Father. It's not just seeing with the eyes, but it's knowing the person. And since Christianity is not just taking in, signing a piece of paper and saying, "I believe these things," as some churches, like the Roman Catholic, if you affirm do these things, then you are a member of the Roman Catholic Church. No, because to be a Christian is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, the eternal Lord. So if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Doesn't mean you look at a picture. You can't. There's no picture of the Lord Jesus. There's no picture of him. Don't go and believe wrongly someone gives you a picture. There's no picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't look like that. You make him like that. That person who drew that picture has degraded the Lord Jesus Christ and shamed him. Because that is your impression of the Lord Jesus. He cannot be pictured. He is God. That's why there were paintings, what, drawings. Why none of it of the Lord Jesus Christ has come to us? From antiquity, from that time? That's because God doesn't want you to do what I've seen in a bus in England. This man kissing the picture. A so-called Jesus. That's their adoration of Jesus. The Lord cannot be worshipped by pictures. The Father loves the Son and given him all things. Whoever believes in his name has eternal life. The Son has eternal life in himself. He who does not believe the Son shall not have eternal life, but the wrath of God abides in him. We all need a new birth. Nicodemus asked, "How can you be born again? How can I go back to my mother's womb?" See, if you have that type of mindset, only looking at things externally and physically, the Lord Jesus was talking about this new spiritual birth, which is only done by the Holy Spirit, which is needed before you can enter and before you can see the kingdom of God. You have to be regenerated. You have to be born again. You need to be a new man. But believing in the Lord Jesus is believing God the Father. Eternal life comes from believing the Son, because all life has been granted to the Son to give life, as we have just read just now. The Father loves the Son, has given all things to the Son. So the Son has the authority to save and to give new life. He is the only Savior, the Christ, the promised Savior. Through faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and we are reconciled to God. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. I shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Have you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still at the door, at the gate, waiting to enter in, but still holding back, still not submitting your life, surrendering yourself to him, all giving to the Savior and saying to him, Lord, you know me, you know everything of me, I come as I am, I have nothing to bring before you, for my these are all like filthy rags. I come as I am. I come needing the blood of the Lord Jesus to wash me clean. I come naked. I come as I am. Will you come to the Savior like that? Otherwise, you will not come. You do not want to come. And you will never come if you don't realize this fact, that we must come as we are. We need Him to wash us clean. We need Him to save us. The Ethiopian eunuch said, when asked, do you believe this? Yes, he believed. Well, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for sins? Yes, he did with all his heart, he believed. And he was baptized. And Saul, after he was converted, what did he preach? He preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Amazing. After conversion, the Apostle Paul went to the synagogue. After spending some time with the disciples, he went to the synagogue and preached that the Christ is the Son of God. You see, his understanding has been opened. His mind has opened. Before he attacked the church, how terrible that you worship Jesus Christ as God. That's what Christians did. But now he goes around telling people that Christ is the Son of God. Of course, he will face persecution from the Jews. Jesus Christ is truly divine and truly human, in the one person and two distinct natures. He died on the cross and rose again to make atonement for our sins. Isaiah 53 shows that Jesus Christ is the suffering servant of God. Before we can enjoy the benefits of salvation, the Savior must be the suffering servant of God. He must go painfully to the cross. After so much ignominy, the shame of the world, of the Jews, of the leaders, and in a sense, they represent the religious, the highest religious of people. And we are behind, we are the ungodly, and then we are the moralists, and then we are the legalists. The Jews were just that. The highest form that man could reach was still a man, a works religion. But the suffering servant came and opened the door that we might be saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, whereby saints in times past, like Abraham, like Rahab, like Hagar, all this, put their trust in this Savior. Will you put your trust in this Savior? That is the question. Will you continue to put this trust in this Savior till the end of your life on your dying bed, or if you were to go tomorrow out of a terrible discovery of a sickness that you cannot recover? Anyone who understands this and confesses that he is the Son of God, believing in your heart that he is the Son of God, that only He can wash you clean of your sins. You embrace Him, believe in Him, repent of your sins, that you have sinned against God. You need Him to save you and wash you clean. And for the rest of your life, you will follow Him. Then you will have eternal life. And what is it that will keep you from being baptized? Nothing. Believe with all your heart, like the Ethiopian eunuch, and you will be baptized. There is no holding back, no casting, no isolating, keeping your distance from the Savior, but coming to Him as you are. Will you not do that? And then you will see the burden of your sins rolled away, like the Pilgrim's Progress, like the Christian in the Pilgrim, it rolled away. Your burdens are gone. Have you ever felt that? When you owed people so much money and somehow you could pay, your burden was gone. you did something terrible, something terrible you thought would happen, and yet it was turned around. Don't you feel the relief of this sort of thing? Can you feel the burden taken away? If you come to the Savior, you will experience that. May it be so for you, that this dark day, that you're walking in darkness, with no knowledge, personal knowledge of God and the Savior, be turned to light, as God is light. And the light that is constantly shining at your heart, and exposing your sin, and your desire to want to do things your way, to save yourself, and by your own works, or by some religious ceremonies, and obedience to some, but all rolled away on the cross of Calvary. May it be so for this day for you. Let us